two people doing this podcast invented ADD.
I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Language.
Dread it. Run from it. Destiny arrives all the same.
Listen to the podcastle.
Spotify.
Looking good, man. How you doing? How's the fam? How's everybody doing?
Everyone's fine. Heather's stepfather passed away like 2 months ago, and the fallout from that has just been like so messy because there's like so many step siblings and like her mom, and they're like there was no will. So my house has just been like it's just been like a rotating door. Thank you.
I met him at the wedding. He's like tall, like good looking kind of guy.
Yeah, scary looking dude.
Yeah. I didn't want to mess with him. It looked like he could hurt somebody. Looks like he could have somebody Bob's killed.
Bob's dad thought he was a hitman.
Yeah, he looked like
Bob Coons' dad came up to me and was like, "Who hired the Italian or something?" Like
yeah.
That.
Sorry, is that a boner in your pocket? No, it's a silencer. Oh, okay. You can have my chicken. But I did see that he passed. I'm sorry that happened, man. But yeah, that's a lot with like that many siblings and family members. Just, it's a lot.
And dude, he was like a collector. So he has so many like semi-expensive assets just piled up. Like telescopes that like Bob would cream his pants over. Like
oh, really?
Super telescopes that are like this thick.
Oh my gosh.
Know, like, crazy. And he has like three of them. And then like a whole bunch of guitars and this giant RV and a huge truck. Yeah, it's just
really what a fun house.
I know, it is a fun house.
So everyone's
almost,
trying to like
almost like grab a hoarder's fun house, but a fun house.
And everyone's trying to like get a piece or not get a piece, but like figure out what goes where, who gets what.
Yeah, and it's just causing a civil war. And you know what? It's really causing. True colors shine.
Oh my gosh.
Right, you see who all the ugly people are? They're just like, I want that fucking telescope.
Since I joined this family, I've been waiting for these heel turns to happen, and they've been
they're happening. It's like the end of Gran Torino when Clint Eastwood dies, and they're all like waiting around like who's gonna get the Gran Torino, you know? And you see like everyone's true colors, like the granddaughter that hated him is just like, oh, I really want it. And he gives it to like the neighbor and everyone's like, what?
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. It's like
everyone comes out.
If you don't like have a good relationship with someone when they die, you shouldn't expect anything from them. I mean, you should never expect anything from anybody, but it's like if you have a close relationship with someone, at some point or another they're gonna say, you know, when I'm gone you get this or whatever.
Right.
And you didn't have that. You didn't have that to a level where he didn't even make a will.
Yeah.
It's like you need to stop being selfish right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I mean, it's never right to expect that. But if it's like 2 years later and you're cleaning out an attic and you find like these telescopes, OK, maybe like who wants this? But when it's been a few months and people are, I don't know if telescopes are what people are after, but like. Whatever it is, I feel like you should.
Dude, they are.
Wait.
It's like the telescopes, the truck. It's like the tip of the iceberg. There's like all this, all these things that they're arguing over. And I'm like, I'm so happy. Like my dad literally has no object, you know, no physical object that I want at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to fight my brother over any material thing when my parents pass away. Like that's just.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't have that. In my DNA to give a shit. Do your parents have anything like that they have that you want?
No, I don't like think about that stuff. The only thing that they have that I could see my brother or sister and I like wanting to like get a piece of the pot is the dead mummy that they stole from the museum 20 years ago. It's worth like $30 million. But oh wait, are we recording? No, it's
we'll cut that part out.
They have a condo and AC that they like rent out and stuff like that. So I can see like somebody like, oh, who gets the condo or something like that. But I don't think anybody's really would really be clamoring for it. It was a little cat. We'll be like fighting about it.
Right. Like, don't you think that no matter what it is, be it a house at the shore or an electric guitar, if someone else wants it and they're willing to like get into like an argument with you, isn't it like, all right, not worth it, don't want it anymore,
don't give a shit,
I was fine without it,
Yeah, right. I'm not gonna get the fisticuffs with you over this. Speaking of guitars, though, the craziest thing, my mom, her sister, my aunt Denise, she was like, you know, engaged to this guy. He was he was young. He was in his 50s, maybe early 60s, and he passed away a few years ago. And he had a garage full of like stuff, and he left it to my mom because she like kind of she's a nurse. She kind of cared for him the last few years of his life. He was sick, and you know, she's like, we'll go through it. And she, he didn't really have any other like friends or family or anything like that. So she like took everything home, and the guitar that she brought home is a Les Paul from 1962. So I was like, this is like worth a lot of money. I looked it up. That shit's worth like $50,000-$60,000 in mint condition. It's not mint condition. It's probably like 35, 40. But like, talk about the other end of the iceberg. It's like, I figure this guy, you'd have people clamoring for this guitar. Or people that knew him that would be like, right. Hey, sell it to me. And it was in a garage. Like, he didn't even use it. So, you know, you wonder about that stuff. Like, does he even, did he know it was worth money? Was it something he got as, like, a teenager that he never used? I mean, it's like, it's something, like, collectors really would go after. And it's.
Yeah, I mean, even I know that the Les Paul, I know that's, like, a big deal in the guitar world. But yeah. it's like, why don't you,
it's like the Cadillac.
Once. In your selfish fucking life, consider the person who's dead, and think right. think about how they'd want you to handle this, and proceed accordingly. Because it certainly would not be fighting.
Yeah, right, right. They don't want you arguing about it, and that kind of stuff's funny with like wills, because I know there's like I don't know like really much about that, but I know there's like some kind of wills and trust, like where they set it up with stipulations, like Jimmy gets the house if he. Gets a 3.0 in college this year. And it's like all these like tests that they have to do. Right. Like if they right. get clean from drugs, then they get like this money or something with drug tests. Like it's.
If they stay out of jail.
Right. They get, it's like making you work after they're gone. And it's like, I get it to a degree, you know, for maybe something like that, you know, when people like fighting and like blowing it on like crack or something like that. Crack. But like, you know, it's, I don't know. I hope it works out though.
I feel like they've been trying to work it out for like 3 months, and it's like today was kind of like the final straw. You know, my wife, who has like a bottomless well of patience, has like run out of it. And she's I'm kind of telling them all, like, until you're ready to act like adults, like you're getting nothing, because, you know, in basically in every court, I think, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm pretty sure the wife gets everything if there's no will.
Sounds about right.
So it's like you could kiss our ass and we'll maybe give you what you want, or you can be a bitch and get nothing and we'll see you in court. Oh, that's right. You don't have any money to buy a lawyer, so we won't.
See, that's how I think it should work out, is you should be controlling whatever's left of the estate, and then like you can divvy it out. By you, I mean like John Hassinger should do this. That way people are like, hey, John, I waxed your car. You have like Biff Tannen from like the alternate 1985 or the linear one where he's like washing the car outside and it was
like
kissing
the repair.
Right. I feel like you should be the guy that's like digging.
I thought about saying that today to Heather. I was like, I'm so happy you've left me out of it, because if I was like brought in even in the slightest, I would like steamroll this whole thing because of how embarrassing the behavior of her step siblings is. It's so petty and gross. And
it sounds ugly, yeah, like they're getting into it. And then on the side is Barry the Rainbow just laughing, like, I got nothing to do with this. You know, like you fools.
He's like, grass was so much greener down there in Florida, wasn't it?
Is it your stepfather-in-law, your father-in-law that passed away?
Stepfather-in-law,
they lived in Florida too, or were they up north?
Yeah. Yeah, they lived in Edgewater, Florida, which is like
Edgewater.
You might as well just name it Trump.
Florida, oh, is it really?
It's like a whole bunch of people who don't have Wi-Fi.
A lot of red hats at the supermarket. Bobbing.
Oh my god! A lot of people who got up early in the morning. They got zip ties, duct tape, a flagpole, and their brand new from Amazon Trump 2024 flag. They unfolded it. They fashioned it on their flagpole. then they like, can you imagine, like, I always see people driving around with flags on their car, and I'm like, dork, stuck in high school, you decorated your car. Embarrassing. Unless it's like funny, like, unless it's for like a joke. What are you doing?
What are you get doing? Get a life.
Yo, speaking of Trump, the other day I was flipping through the channels. I want to talk to you about what we've been watching too. I keep up with all the Comic John videos, and I've seen a bunch of new stuff, except for Top Gun. That's this weekend, so thanks. I can't talk about that. But I was flipping through the channels the other day. I was like Sling. I have ADHD of like streaming services where I'm like HBO Max. No,
isn't it the worst?
Netflix, Hulu, and then Sling's
it's
always
so unideal. It's so unideal for ADHD people.
It is. I thought, and you know, you think about it, you're like, oh no, we're gonna save all this money. It makes sense, but it's like, why? I watch like, if you see my stream, it's like a red bar for like 2 seconds, and then I change to something else. You know, I have like 50 unfinished movies. But I was like streaming platform hopping. It's ridiculous. And I went to Sling, and I was like, I'll just watch like whatever's on streaming on TV, because it was like late and I wasn't going to commit. And I landed on Fox, I guess like the Fox channel, Fox News. It was a commercial, and I thought it was a joke, but it was a Trump teddy bear, and it's a teddy bear with the Trump haircut. I swear to you, man, I swear on my life, I thought like the first, I didn't realize what channel it was. I was kind of like, I was half drunk, and it was I thought it was like SNL or something like that, like a right, fake infomercial. Right. Like, and I was like, no, this is real. Already. This is real. That this is, they were selling a Trump teddy bear, and it was like,
whoa, show your pride. Who was?
A company called like Trump Teddy Bears. Like there's a, but they bought advertising space on Fox, and there was like a number, and I Googled it, and it was a legitimate thing. And I was like, you know what? People are really buying this.
He needs to make as much money as he can right now on any kind of crap possible, because
right.
He's going to jail.
He's going to jail.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
It's like in the America that I was taught about in grade school, if that America is where we live right now, Trump would go to jail for treason and be hung.
Oh my gosh.
But we don't live in that America that we're like taught about. We're like, it's like, we're all kind of wishy-washy. It just depends on who's in charge at the time.
It's so true. Yeah. It all depends on who has the reins. And then, yeah, if it was like,
and if they have balls or not.
Right. Yeah. If it was the St. Jude version we were taught of government, you would be afraid to say something that like Trump would say in private, but on like a public platform, it's just amazing.
I know, and no one does anything, because it's like, instead of making the tough decision and getting shit from like your peers, now you get it from the whole country.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? It's like this girl, this 25-year-old chick who saw men behaving at their worst, and went up there and had the guts to like tell it in front of everyone. Now they're all calling her liars. It's like, guys, come up with a new excuse. You say everyone's lying who says anything negative about you. Can you ever claim like, oh yeah, they actually were right there?
Right. No, never.
It's like the Amber Heard trial. It's like, yo, but they can't all be lying. Like,
right.
They can't all be lying. It's a group.
Right, yeah, they don't work as a phalanx where there's like tentacles, and they're like, if one's lying here, then the whole thing is lying.
Like a hive mind. Like,
the hive. It's so funny too when that like chick came out and said like he grabbed the wheel or something like that. You know, it was all stuff that I believed he would do, and I think like I was watching, you know, like I was listening to like Adam Carolla or somebody the other day. Maybe it was like Jimmy Kimmel, and they were saying everything she said, whether it was true or not, is all believable. And that, just what you said, everybody came out was like, she's a liar. But
it's
not
so
like she came out was like, he took his pants off and ran down the hallway at me screaming with, you know, with a Richard Nixon mascot or something. It was, it wasn't, there was nothing she would, my point is there's nothing she would like gain from this. You know, she's 25. She was 23 probably when this happened. You know, she's a kid still in like college age. I don't know how she was working in that position that close to Trump at that age, but whatever. And I feel like she immediately gets shit on by everybody. calling her a liar. You know what I mean? It's such like, it's just so shameless. It sucks. Well,
dude, you know, when you have to, when you're forced, when you grow up in an environment where lying is a feature of survival, and you just have to learn how to do it, and you have to learn how to be believable real quick.
Yeah.
And so you can spot when people are lying because they're making up a story. So there's no like concrete words to describe a real event if it's pretend. So you can like, so the words are like wishy-washy, and you can always tell when someone's lying. They add things in that are so like just down a tangent that has nothing to do with the point.
Right.
Just to establish like authority, even though it's like we're talking about a bicycle and you just described Tupperware.
Right.
We're glad you know about Double Tupperware, speak. But what about the bicycle?
Right. Yeah, what about the bike?
You know, they like redirect. And then
that's a good point.
And then when they want to claim that someone's lying about them, they just it's like they're just using the same excuse. It's like something negative was said about you. they're lying again.
Right, because you disagree with the narrative.
Dude, that truth social thing, like I love how Trump like went out and made like he's 76 years old and he made a social media platform, which is really just like a blog.
Right.
It's like a Word. It's like a Microsoft Word document that like just the world has access to.
And he's only used it like once from what I've read. Like he only did like the initial post in there, and then he used it like one other time, but he's not on there like he did with Twitter. Like I think it's like the person that's like, well, fuck you, I'll create my own site, and then you're like, I wish I was on the other site that didn't kick me off, you know, because like what are you gonna do?
I guess this week after this woman whose name I've heard a trillion times, and of course I
know it's like Carrie Hutchinson or something.
It's Cassidy Hutchinson, maybe something like that. And he wrote like, I don't know this woman. The only time we ever interacted was when she was here, and we did this together. I was like,
you know her then.
You opened yet again with your bad lie. I don't know this woman. And then you talk about times where you hung out with her. So you do know her, you stupid.
I've never met her before, except for on Christmas when we had the coffee break. And then when I gave her flowers for her anniversary, and then, you know, it's like, come on.
Other than the year we got each other for Secret Santa, don't know her, total stranger.
You know what the problem too is, or what their problem is when they, you know, lie, or they say they don't know her, or she's a liar, is they come off right off the bat with it. And the only people they're appealing to is people that are going to believe, you know, whatever they say anyway, that are like brainwashed or whatever. But if they just like chilled for a minute, didn't comment on it, and said like, yeah, he never said that, or, you know, they played it down, but immediately they come out like, oh, she's a liar. It just gets more press and amps it up more, and
it's like
it makes you look like a liar.
Do you realize how messed up her life's gonna be? So she like everyone's like
she's a kid.
She had everything to gain. I was like, the only thing she gained was zero privacy. You know, like her life is like just, she's going to get hammered now for like a while, daily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People harassing her for doing this. And it's like when people say that like being gay is like a choice, it's like, but then why is it so hard to come out if it's pretend?
Right.
Why would you put yourself through that unless it was like, I can't live in a lie. And that's how, Cassidy Hutchinson McGrady handled it.
Right. That's how Cassidy Megan Dominic Pat Hauber handled it.
Mergner handled it.
I got to bring this up. I've been itching to ask you about this, but I didn't want to do this on like Facebook or text or something, because I want to hear your thoughts.
I appreciate it.
Roe versus Wade. No, I know your thoughts on that, but.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at your desk and you have all this great memorabilia peppered around. But I want to know, where is Ezra Miller's The Flash? And I have a theory about Ezra Miller, and I want to hear what you think about this whole situation to see if I'm in par with what you think. Because I think we think the same ways in a lot of ways. So what do you think about this Ezra Miller situation?
Well, I think it's amazing that you know about it. That just proves that it's finally like jumped outside of the comic
world
circles.
Oh, I every, you know, like first thing I look at every day know, is Ezra Miller news. I'm
because you're not like a superhero fan, and he's the Flash, and that's, you know, I mean, he's in the Fantastic Beasts, but he's the Flash, and he's awesome as the Flash, and he's been the Flash for like over 10 years now.
Yeah, Justice League,
and
right?
And he had a great cameo in Peacemaker, the season finale of James Gunn and John Cena's Peacemaker on HBO. But you know what he is, dude? He's like a young kid with like so much power, and he has no clue.
Right.
He just like has no clue, and no one is guiding him. Like, there's no mentor in his life, obviously.
No.
No. Yeah,
and he has a farm that. I mean, he was famous. He was doing movies from like 2011, 2012. He was in that world and like theater since a kid. So you throw a kid into the DC universe with that much like fame, and even if it's like cameos, and you know, you don't have like a mentor or something, I think I would probably have acted a lot worse than he did. I'm not defending the things he did, but I feel like that's an easy path to go down.
And, you know, this Flash movie that is pushed back now, I think it comes out next spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of supposed to be like a reset button for all the DC movies in a way.
Yeah.
Still keeping kind of the same stuff from the Snyderverse things.
Right.
But continuing on a new path, and Michael Keaton heavily involved, and Flash like super involved. Like, his movie was supposed to kind of like restart everything. Like Flashpoint, he runs so fast, he travels through time, he tries to fix it, and then it's the Back to the Future too, you know, alternate timelines.
Good point. Yeah,
and they were kind of like going to do that in DC with everybody, you know, at Black Adam, The Rock, you know, character, Shazam, Aquaman, Superman, everybody. And now that's fucked because he's a freaking strange person. But I am still curious and holding out hope that this is all being blown out of proportion. That's just my hope.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what I think. Here you go. He doesn't do press releases, or like his spokesperson doesn't come out and deny everything.
Super like private.
Super private. Like, lives in Hawaii for like 3 months as like kind of a homeless guy. Like, he just like goes. He's like not a homeless guy. He's like a nomad. He like meets people like from the 60s, you know, like, hey, let's get high, and like he'll sleep there for like a week. He lets people like crash. He's very private. He deleted all social media. I know he refers to himself as them and there, but I will never remember that. So
it's tough.
Yeah. So I'm just going to just roll with that, but you know what I mean? But, he doesn't say anything. So it's everything just the media says, which obviously they blow everything up. And I feel like, by the way, he was in The Stand 2020 with Amber Heard. And then those two took a trajectory in 2022.
Oh,
so like, who else is
going
to crash? And he was great in The Stand too.
Both in the DCEU.
Yeah. And Aquaman too. But I just feel like
so pointless.
They put $100 million into the movie. $200 million if you include like marketing. He hasn't been convicted of everything. There's a lot of expectations. I've seen all of his movies, at least in the DC universe, recently in the past few weeks since I've been on this like tangent with him. Just like,
did
watching.
You? So you're doing like a deep dive on Ezra Miller. Did you get into the Johnny Depp trial at all?
I got into it through my wife as a surrogate. I didn't watch any of it except for passing the room and watching him go.
Mr. Rottenborn.
That's why it took so long, by the way. If he was just like, no, I didn't.
Mr. Rottenborn.
No, I didn't do it. How was lunch today, Johnny?
Dude, he controlled the lawyer. You know, like he outperformed the lawyer. Like, he controlled the pace. His lawyer steamrolled her, and she just drowned. Like, she was in quicksand. I watched every single second of that trial.
That's awesome.
For 6 months, I was consumed. I would watch this this YouTube channel, Legal Bites. They
yeah,
were like
Jen watches
they were
that.
like They were like the most neutral, even though they were all huge Depp fans. They just weren't like,
who isn't?
Legal Bites. They weren't like huge Depp fans. They were just like convinced after researching the trial before it started that Depp was he was innocent.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
They were like the least obnoxious group of lawyers. That's why I stuck with them.
Yeah, they are good too, especially when they're lawyers themselves, and they're like, well, here's what could happen. And you know, like I've been listening to or watching a lot of videos this week because like Ghislaine Maxwell and R. Kelly were all sentenced to like 20, 30 years. So I've been like watching Ghislaine, is that how you say it?
No, that's what Chelsea Handler on. She's filling in for Jimmy Kimmel, and she kept calling her Jizz.
Jizz.
Jizz is in trouble.
Yeah, what's her name? Maxwell. Like I've been watching videos of lawyers saying like, well, she could appeal and, you know, do this. And what's really scary is, at least with her, is she never talked about like other people in this black book and stuff. And the lawyers, like Mark Garagos and these guys, they said she's probably going to save this for the appeal. She has like one hand left to play, because if history has showed us anything, it's like you can kill 100 people, but if you give up the Don, like John Gotti, you know, right, like they have, you get like immunity. So he thinks, and a few other lawyers on these YouTube channels think, she's going to play this card in the appeal. Like, okay, I want like 2 years and I'll give you like all these names. But so, I mean, you never know how true that's going to be. But I don't think
that sounds smart. It's like, let's go to trial, see how it goes. If you lose, then on the appeal, we bring out the black book with every famous person who you've ever been entertained by, right, in your life is now a scumbag, and we have no role models anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's the only move to play. And I hope she gets, you know, I wish she got more time. She's a piece of shit, but but the lawyers that I've listened to said they're going to do that. And going back to Ezra Miller real quick, I think if he were anybody else, they would have like replaced him and all that. But because there's $200 million riding on this, and he's not actually convicted of crime. What's that?
Right. The movie isn't. The movie's finished.
It's done. Yeah.
They would have to reshoot every single thing. And guess what? He plays two versions of Barry Allen. Like, he travels to another dimension where he also exists. And so they'd have to reshoot two different. Yeah. Right.
Can't
he
do
plays
it.
Two different versions. Right. It'd be like a $400 million movie. And DC cannot. They can't afford to have a.
No, Warner Brothers. They need Warner Brothers needs cash influx this coming year, and
the
also
Zaslav.
What's that?
The Zaslav, that their new like CEO is just cutting the helmet shows left and right. He's like, this is shit. Cancel it.
It's like the guy at Netflix that this year they were finally started losing money. They cut like 150 shows, but like Ezra Miller's bad press is only helping them, because you have people like me who's like talking about it, that can't wait to see this movie now. So you're telling me it's not going to be a $1 billion movie? Like, of course it is.
And it's like, what if behind the scenes of all this, Ezra Miller's calling Warner Brothers being like, yo, this is all just made up. So I'm going to be innocent.
Yeah.
So let's just ride out the attention. And then once I'm proven innocent, but who the hell knows? I just can't believe they put so much effort into this movie. And dude, all the early like test screenings, people are like, it's absolutely amazing. Michael Keaton's like a badass. And I don't think they're going to market it.
And they need a Flash movie, right? There like isn't one. This will be like the first one of this like size, right?
Yeah, he's been in a couple of, like, he was in Batman versus Superman, and he was in Justice League.
Yeah.
You know, both versions. And then he had that cameo in Peacemaker. So, and I don't think there ever has been a Flash standalone movie.
My favorite line is, I think it was Justice League. I don't remember, but he asked Ben Affleck, he asked Bruce Wayne, like, what's your superpower? And he's like, I'm rich. You're like, no, that's a smart line. That does make sense.
That is your superpower.
Yeah.
You're like a ninja.
I just rewatched all them. I love when he's choking Clark Kent, he's choking Superman, and he's just like, Martha! And Ben Affleck's like, what? Why did you say that name? And he just
Why did you say that name? Martha!
But I don't know, man.
You could have portrayed the fact that Batman looked at Superman kind of also as a human, even though he's an alien, in a slower, like more, you know,
understanding
abrupt way. It was like, oh, their moms have the same name. Yeah. So he's not gonna murderous alien now.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah. Kinda that's a good point. Kind of makes sense.
But yeah.
I wanted to ask you, did you want tomorrow Stranger Things season 4 second half comes out?
Are you shit?
You moving to, now this is you and I watched the first one.
Dude.
Like when it came out, we were like so hyped about this. What's your take on this?
Dude, I loved season 1. I enjoyed season 2. I think I enjoyed 3, but there was such a long gap that I got to the point where I'm like, the Demogorgon, the you know, the
right,
the Upside Down, and all this stuff. Like, I'm kind of getting tired of it. And then season 4, I'm alone for the weekend with Charlie, with my youngest daughter, who's 1.5. And I put her to bed at like, you know, 7 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just put on Stranger Things season 4 and just like see what they're offering 4 years later after season 3 ended.
Right.
And dude,
by the end of the fourth episode, you know, the episode, everybody, you know, the Max episode, you know, running up that hill, I was standing in front of my TV like this, like pacing, my heart's bumping out of my chest. And when that episode ended, I was like, holy fuck, how did
you're jacked up at that point.
Do this? How did they do it? Because I was so ready to just like not even pay attention.
Yeah.
And they hooked me in like they always do. And I'm really...
It gets you.
So I've never been more excited for Stranger Things than I am for this like 4.5 hour two episode finale. It's like, what is it?
Amazing.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
So it's
3 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
No, it's 2 episodes. One's 90 and one's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
And it came by really quick, too. I felt like when I watched the, you know, the season 4, the first part, like, that weekend or whatever, and felt the same as you. And then I was like, it's like July. They're splitting it up. But it's here tomorrow. So it, like, flew by. And when I was watching it, it did, like, the recap of season 3 with, like, the mall. And I'm like... Oh, this is so long ago. I was like, this was like 2018 or something like that.
Yeah, dude. So, I don't even think I lived in this house.
Yeah, it was like, it was so long ago. So I was like slow. It jump started kind of slow for me. And then by like episode 2, I was like back in, you know. And they went like a darker route, which works. Like they did like more of an Insidious kind of feel, which I think they had to do at this point. They made it like darker. They didn't rely on the same old like, hey, we're in Hawkins. This Demogorgon's coming school. They like they made were it like, work.
They were like McMahon. They were like, our audience went from 10 to 14. So we have to, you know, like our audience is older now. Like they all grew up. Like we have to grow up with it. Or it's just going to be cheese for kids who have no connection. Yeah, the Duffer Brothers, man. I'm blown away.
Yeah, and you can't duplicate that either. Because I've noticed even in like Firestarter, which was awful. They do a lot of like,
I wanted
Stranger Things stuff. You know, like there's I've seen that more and more on TV. Like they try to like do like kind of an 80s throwback. They did an American Horror Stories, and you just can't like duplicate it. They had lightning in a bottle with that. They captured the nostalgia, and for some brilliant reason, after 4 seasons, it doesn't feel tired. I think this season and so far, I like better even than 2 and 3.
I just remember, God, just the way that they laid what happens, you know, what happens to the victim of the Vecna, you know, like when it gets a hold of you and it throws you up in the air and it makes you like bend and get all gross.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, you know, you die. And they showed you that. And then they, for like 45 minutes, made you really think that they were going to do that to Max. And just the thought of seeing her, I was like, I'm not, are they going to do this?
Yeah, I couldn't handle that.
Holy shit.
And I thought like they, you know, they probably would because they're not pulling any punches. They're like letting everything fly. They're not holding back. It's like the Sopranos. They're not afraid to like whack like somebody important. So I was like, they might actually do this. And that was a sweaty episode. And that was legitimately scary too.
So
you know, like in the trailer park scene, I was like, whoa, that'll keep you up at night.
It was like, you know what it was? It was like if the stakes weren't so like horrible, it wouldn't have been like so scary, but it was like every little scary moment was so much worse because you were like, oh my God, are they really going to do this? Jesus Christ, this is fucking horrible. And when she's running, you're like, oh, he's going to get her. Like they're faking us out. And then she opens her eyes and she falls. Oh. And
oh, it gets you. And the spiders and the house, like every movie trope you did. And even the scene, remember like the light bright scene where they're trying to pivot between both the upside down. That
so
was such
cool.
Like, it felt nostalgic. Like, oh, this is like an 80s movie, you know, but it's all new. Like that scene, it's not
right.
A spoof or anything. Like they nailed that like feeling.
Yeah.
You know?
Like they make you buy into it, even though it's so ridiculous, but it's like the stuff that they establish earlier makes you buy into whatever weird way they figure out how to communicate at some point in every season.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Usually with lights. But I'm drawing such a blank right now.
You're thinking about
I'll come back to it.
Well, I was just gonna say while you're thinking of that, they didn't throw into like stereotypical tropes and like cliches in this. Like for example, when they're at the skating rink and Eleven's like getting bullied.
Tropes.
All you wanted to see is her like explode their faces off, and she didn't.
Yeah.
She instead she whacks them with the roller skate, and that made it so much
was
like
so
worse.
Good.
You know, yeah. I mean, it was like
so
what you wanted to see,
good.
But they didn't. You expected like her to like you know get her powers back, and all of a sudden like they end up like burning on fire. But instead, she's like, no, I'm just gonna like kick your ass, and you're like, it was like it meant more. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, right.
She did what she was gonna do anyway. Like they didn't.
It's like it's like when people were mad about Hulk being like this in Avengers Endgame and Hulk not being able to come out of Bruce Banner in Avengers Infinity War. It's like you can't bring out the nuke every time or the movie's 5 minutes.
No.
You know, like Eleven can't be Superwoman. That's why they can never really – they have such a hard time doing Superman because it's like, well, he can just win.
Yeah, he can just do anything. Right. It's like that's why shows like Sons of Anarchy failed is, you know, like every episode at the end, they're just like blowing people away. And it's like you got to there's like restraint you need to exercise. And that's a good point
about
Superman. Sam Crow.
I was like, you know, I was rooting for Jax until it was so easy for him to kill people.
Right. Yeah, I was rooting for him because there was actually consequences. But then all of a sudden he can like become a mass murderer and like. Go home to the
just
family.
Walk right up and kill Michael Dawson.
Right, exactly. It's like no problem. They're still trying to keep that alive with the Mayans. I still see like billboards for that. I'm like, oh, that's still on. They're still holding on to that.
Is there a market for that?
Yeah, I don't know how that's doing. But good point on Superman because it's like that's a franchise that you really have to show restraint because you know,
The show is so good. The show, he has two sons. So it's like, all right, there you go. You just handcuffed Superman. Thank you.
Yeah, creative. That's how you.
Jesus.
That's how
he
you
has to have something tied to the ground.
Yeah. You need to be leveled. And that's a good point. But I feel like Stranger Things did a good job with, you know, not playing
in
there.
I'm so excited for it tomorrow. But I'm really worried I'm not going to be able to get through the workday without just putting it on and watching it at work. And I don't want to do that. I want to sit on my couch from like 8 o'clock when the kids go down till, you know, 1 and watch the whole thing.
I know you got to like make time for it. You know, you got to respect the time.
Right. And you do have to pay attention because there's it's very mysterious. You know, it is like a treasure hunt.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. You miss one thing. That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
That happened. I watched Better Call Saul recently, the latest, like the newest episodes. And there was like one episode where I was
Don't spoil me.
I won't spoil anything. But there was one episode where I was like half doing something else, half not. And usually, like, I love that show. I usually give it my all, like, attention.
Yeah.
But, like, I missed something. And then it was like something crucial. So, like, two episodes later, I'm like, why is this guy still. And I had to, like, go back. I was like, it was like a pretty big thing. It was like when I went to the bathroom one time at Dodger Stadium and I came back and the Phillies were like up by two. And I'm like, what happened? They're like, Matt Stairs. I'm like, fuck.
Oh,
shit. It's like 2009 era when he was like lobbing home runs. I was like,
the legend of Matt Stairs.
Stairs me to heaven.
I swear to God, that's my biggest problem with Better Call Saul. I'll get back into it. I'm on a roll. I'm watching a couple episodes in a row. And then I hit one episode where for some reason I get like distracted for a little bit and I miss Saul do this to Kim. And then the whole story changes and I miss that. And I'm not understanding three episodes after that. And I quit. And I'm
like, you quit. Yeah. Yeah. You miss one thing and it's like done. Who's like, your favorite character?
Am I going to be able to go back? Sorry.
Yeah, you have to. Better Call Saul. Who's your favorite character?
It's tough because everyone is awesome.
Right.
Especially in season, I think I'm in season four or what are they in now? Six?
Yeah. I think so.
I think I have like a season and a half left till I'm caught up. But Mike and Gus.
Oh yeah.
And dude, I was so worried that Gus was going to become like redundant. Like he was cool because like he was like Darth Vader. He like wasn't there that much, but when he was, it was so strong.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It got you.
If you overdo Gus, will he become less than, but he doesn't at all.
It makes it actually like adds to his character and he, you like scare him. You're scared of him more. And it, what's weird about Better Call Saul is they don't like de-age those actors, but it still works. Like Ehrmantraut, I'm like, that guy, that was like 10 years ago, Breaking Bad. He was old then. How are they going to do this? And like, you believe it. He's in shape.
I get it. I know this is make-believe. That's why like when Hayden Christensen came back for Obi-Wan Kenobi and he played Anakin from 20 years ago and everyone's like, oh God, he looks so old. I'm like, you will be lucky if you look as good as he does when you're 40.
Yeah, and he's like 45.
Jackass. Yeah,
is
I know.
He like 45?
Like, so good. Like he still looked like a young kid to me.
He looks great. And I actually really enjoyed Obi-Wan. And I said the same thing to somebody. I was like, you know, they didn't de-age him. And like, I like that. Like we don't need, like, I believe it. I know he looks older. I can suspend disbelief. He looks
I understand.
Great.
Right. Like it's the same guy. That's what's cool about it. It's the same guy. He doesn't have to, his age, it's so irrelevant to me. It's like, that's the same human who did it 20 years ago and he's coming back now. You can all just, all right, yeah, we're all pretending here. This is all pretend show. It's Star Wars.
Right. I think he nailed it. And what I like about the Darth Vader and Obi-Wan is they use the same, like James Earl Jones did the voice. The guy's 91. He's still doing voiceovers, which is awesome. Or he did the voice for the first episode.
No.
He didn't do it? No, he did.
No, they did what they did with Luke's voice. So James Earl Jones and Mark Hamill both get paid, but they put their voice from, I don't know, I guess every movie they've ever done into this machine, dude. It's like this synthetic software voice modulator called Respeecher.
Really?
And listen to it again and then go back and listen to him talking to Mendelsohn in Rogue One. Because Rogue One is really James Earl Jones. And you can tell he seems short of breath.
He did in Rogue One.
It's like, don't let your... Don't try to choke on your aspirations, director. You could hear him. You hear like a
he
little...
really needed the respirator. Well, that's really interesting. I was going to say,
sounds perfect.
They used his voice.
In Obi-Wan.
In Obi-Wan, they used Darth Vader's voice as it sounded before A New Hope, where when you listen to like Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, it's a little bit deeper. Like the voice is a little tweaked. Like
it's like James Earl Jones like evolved the like,
yeah,
I'm the big, mean, angry guy.
Right.
I think
before he was
just doing his regular voice for the first movie, you know, like James Earl Jones didn't put any affect on it.
Yeah, yeah, it was just like raw, that's why it sounds different. But they went back to that with Obi-Wan, where they didn't do like Return of the Jedi Darth Vader voice kind of thing. It was more, there's like a difference, and I thought that really worked. That's really interesting, though, he didn't do the voiceover for that.
Respeecher. Reese.
Oh my gosh.
So
I gotta get that for work calls.
He's credited and everything, but like, you know, he's 91. It's like, how intimidating can he sound? And they did it with Luke and it sounded great. And because Darth Vader speaks so clearly, it's not like he uses slang or anything like that. It was probably, that's why it sounded so perfectly. It was funny. I was talking to Agnew because Agnew complains about everything and I just praise everything. And he was like, I do agree. It was the most perfect sounding Darth Vader voice. So I was like,
There you go.
Yeah.
It gave you penis bumps when you watched the second episode, when you see him like with the mask coming on and the machine and you're like, oh shit, it's back. You know?
Oh dude. And then their fight in the fire and
so good.
And then their fight at the end. Have you seen the whole thing?
Seen the whole thing.
Like at the end where Obi-Wan is standing there with the lightsaber and all the stones go flying
Darth Vader. He's just pelting him and he walks away and you're like, he always wins. He can't beat Obi-Wan.
And it's funny because
that was a good scene.
People were, you know, all the nerds love to argue about like, why are they making this? And it contradicts canon. And it's like, you stupid fucks.
That's it.
How do you know what contradicts what happens already if you haven't seen everything that happens before it? You know, so like they could go back and do this Obi-Wan show and do all this shit that contradicts canon. Then in season two, they can correct it all because you know why? It's make-believe.
And also canon is like ever evolving. That's why they're doing like another Ghostbusters. It's like my point is the nerds did that with Ghostbusters Afterlife when they were like, oh, well, they didn't like, they ignored two. And then they ignored two. I'm like, no, they did. Like, he was at Ray's occult books. It was in it's part of the canon. It's constantly changing. And then, like you said, it's make believe. It's writing. Like, it's, there's always going to be something like, that nitpicks it.
And usually that break of canon is because the idea is cooler. And it's just like, well, we're just going to do this now because it's better. And they were like, well, Princess Leia, when she made the message for Obi-Wan, she didn't say, like, I'm the girl that you saved. She said, like, you fought with my dad in the Clone Wars. It's like, that was 10 years ago when she was a little girl. Now she's, like, 19. She's probably like, I don't even know if this guy fucking remembers me, but I'm going to tell him that I know how far back. You know what I mean? It's like,
how do you feel
can justify that stuff, you losers.
And, you know, I did a great job writing the show. They did a good job writing the show in terms of, like, when, like, Uncle Owen was there and, like, you know, when Leia was, like, Obi-Wan was trying to get Leia out of that, like, city. You know, you realize that, you know, they're going to be okay in the long run. Like, they did other movies. But I, like, didn't think about that. I was, like, genuinely worried, like, oh, shit, is she going to get out of here? Like, it was, not once, which is, like, for me, like, the sign of a good writing and good filmmaking. I was never like, I know what's going to happen. I was like, you forget about that. And you're like, shit, I hope she gets out of there.
And I feel like a lot of critics like forgot that they are watching this show differently because they already know the fate of all these characters, or at least these characters that you care about. You know, you already know them.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're watching something you've already seen, but you're rewatching it. You know what I mean? It's like,
Like you're missing things. You're seeing things you missed.
Yeah, it's like there's no stakes, but like I love these characters and I just want to watch them do stuff. And that's great. You know, that's like that's kind of what like the Hawkeye show was for me. Like I was like, it's not Thanos. I'm just like enjoying these two characters together on TV. Like it's
you're enjoying the ride. You enjoy the characters, and that's why
Enjoying the moments. I can barely fucking follow any story. You know, it's not like I'm like on top of every little plot twist and turn and every little like secret little thing that's going on. I'm just kind of like, I hope the good guy wins.
Right. Yeah. That's like what you want to see. That's what you're doing. And Obi-Wan, I thought the set, like the visualizations were better than like Boba Fett in a lot of regards. They just did with like the sea base, the whatever that was called. And like,
That was so stupid, but so, like such a
why because
a
you
dumb,
couldn't get
a dumb
through
idea
it?
For a base, but it was so cool. It looked cool. There you go.
Yeah, it was stupid for the base because it's like there's all these barriers, but we're still gonna get through it. It's like come on, but they made it work with like when they went to, was it Tatooine where he gets picked up by the like the truck driver guy?
Yeah.
No. When Obi-Wan's trying to like shuffle Leia back and they're on that like planet and he gets picked up by the truck driver.
Yeah, what's his name? Zach Braff picks him up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just like the details in that, you know, like it's what you'd expect a truck driver to be. Like he's got like a beaten up
old flag.
Yeah, like it worked.
It was like he made it. It was like his like homemade empire flag. Like the flag we were just talking about.
He respectful to authorities, like they look a little strange. You better check him out, officer, kind of thing.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, like you can believe it. It like humanized the story more. I think it's the little things, dude. It's the details that make it work.
I cried in every episode, especially the one. I think it was the second to last one where like Obi-Wan and Princess Leia are on like a ship and they're, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're heading towards the finale, and she grabs his hand, and he like holds her hand, and I mean, dude.
Yeah,
she's
that gets
the same,
you.
She's the same height, the same attitude, the same like level of intelligence when speaking to adults as Hannah, as my 4.5-year-old.
Oh.
So Princess Leia as a 10-year-old, I thought was like the coolest thing ever. I was like, this is so fucking amazing. Like.
Oh yeah.
You know, she was such a badass princess and now I have daughters and now it's like, oh my God, I'm seeing her as a little girl. It was
it's beautiful.
People were like, she's OP. I'm like, well, she's Princess Leia, like she's supposed to be.
Yeah, right. It's Princess Leia. Look who you're talking to. That was every episode was good, but when they say goodbye and everything and Jimmy Smits is there and like that was it was touching. It tugged on the heartstrings.
Those beaches will be open.
Tomorrow's the 4th of July, and we will be open for business.
That's what I meant to say.
It was great to shoot the shit with you, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's been
let's do this again soon.
As always.
We'll do like a proper full show kind of thing.
Yeah, man. I'm usually like at 8:30. I come out here. I do a 3-minute trailer reaction, and then I'll either edit it and then go to bed, or I'm just sitting here with my thumb up my ass. So.
My thumb up my ass. But great job on the videos, too, man. I watch them all. I think they're great. I subscribe and get notifications.
Step by step. I'm like, this is, I think, the fastest and, like, most cost-effective time. You know, like, I can
awesome.
Do the whole thing in, like, an hour.
It's great.
And I'm like, all right, if I can just do enough of these until I get to 1,000, and then I can start to, you know, monetize.
Oh, I love it. I love
then
it.
Then I got to think of something original.
Oh, yeah, it's growing huge, too. Like, congratulations. It looks awesome. It's the only thing I subscribe to that I get like notifications to like ADHD ups. Like there's too much going on. I can't
shit
on my phone, but like I enabled YouTube. So I'm like, new like video. So they're always good.
Thank you, bro.
But love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blasting goes cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have fun, fun, fun.